Okay, let's start with Hebrews chapter 11, 17 through 19, and then transition from that section to Romans chapter 4, verse 17, and read that, and then maybe we can pray-read. Amen. Okay. This afternoon is our first time to gather with the parents and the serving ones who are serving in the church in Anaheim with the children in all of the districts together. Praise the Lord for our first time to come together this year. I think if you've been serving and been joining us, you know we've been coming together like this. We try to gather every few months and have ongoing fellowship regarding the Lord's burden for the matter of the children and the service with them here in the church in Anaheim. Anyway, we're happy to begin a new year and have a time of gathering to just be refreshed and reset our course for our serving in another year. I know I'm serving in District 3, and today some of us that have been serving, we were able to finally get together. We've been kind of running around the last few months, and the service has maybe gotten a little, you know, coasting a little bit, but it's an opportunity for us to reconsecrate and be re-encouraged and re-clarified to enter into a new year together. Anyway, praise the Lord. I think we're happy to. And we're anxious and looking forward to a new year to serve and to see more and to go on together. Praise the Lord. It's so good we can be here in the church in Anaheim enjoying the serving here. I hope none of us would ever feel that the children's meeting and the children's service is we have to do it. But actually, this is a marvelous opportunity for us to be built up together, for us to serve together, to learn to coordinate together here in the house of God in Bethel. And I enjoyed in the prophesying this morning that we're all being transformed into the stones, but these stones are being built up together into a spiritual house. So I hope all of you would be encouraged that in your various services and your groups throughout the church in Anaheim, you would give a priority to be this built-up stones, these built-up priests, and enter into the priesthood together. Anyway, this is a great opportunity that we have where we're not just in meetings, but we're actually serving together and coordinating and bearing the burden for these dear ones the Lord has given us. Anyway, praise the Lord. The burden for this time is perhaps a little different, but I hope that's a good thing. We'll see if the utterance can come out. Over the last number of years, I would say at least 4 or 5 years here in the church in Anaheim, there has been a very clear feeling and lead and direction given by the brothers here considering how would the church in Anaheim care for this burden as the church for the children. And out of that, there have been many details, many developments, many advancements, but one of the core principles and fundamental items that I hope you've picked up and heard multiple times is that our burden with the children, in our care for the children, we should realize that the primary role, the primary responsibility for the children is who? With the parents, right? Okay, you shouldn't have answered that. It's with the parents, right? We're burdened that the parents obviously care for the children in their humanity, in their human needs, their physical needs, their education, their schooling, but there was a lack in our understanding and our view in years past that even the spiritual progress and well-being of our children, with whom does it lie? With whom do we look to? And when there's not a proper understanding of this, then there is a, you know, it's the classic problem of, well, I thought you got the keys. Well, I thought you got the keys. Who had the primary responsibility to care for the well-being of our spiritual, of our children's spiritual progress in the Lord? And I believe this fellowship has been very clear, and I believe very helpful. I'm also not just a serving one, I'm a parent, and when I entered into this fellowship, I took it seriously and realized that I have to endeavor with my children not only to feed the not only to feed them and take care of their schooling, but I need to pay attention. How are they doing in the Lord? How are they progressing in the Lord? And I realized I should not have the thought, well, I'll drop Kayla and Mitchell and Ryan and Deborah off at the meeting hall, and I will go fly off to Russia and do literature distribution, and you know, the church will take care of their spiritual well-being. This has been a very clear burden in the church in Anaheim, that all of the parents in the church in Anaheim would take this opportunity to rise up and care for their own children's progress in the Lord. Aren't you encouraged by this? Don't you treasure the experiences you've had with all of your children, not just humanly, but even in the Lord? I still remember the first time going to one of the sixth grade fathers and telling him, your son will become your brother. And his eyes just lit up. Wow, he never thought that I'm going to have a new one in my home. It was just my son, you know. But all of a sudden, your son is now a baby in the Lord that needs spiritual care and feeding. And so there's been a lot of, I would say, real advance, even in the Lord's recovery, through our practice and exercise and implementation of this view and vision here in the church in Anaheim. Anyway, I praise the Lord for this, and I hope we would continue on to develop this burden in a good way. But this morning, this afternoon, there's another burden that we would like to bring to you. To take this matter of our spiritual responsibility and develop it further, and to give us, I would say, a deeper vision, a deeper view, a further balance. I hope the utterance can come out, but we'll see. And the source of this burden that we'd like to open up this morning, this afternoon, comes from, of course, recently in the Holy Word and in our enjoyment at the semi-annual trainings, we've been crystallizing the book of Genesis, right? And I think this matter of building and Bethel, this is very much in our consciousness in these days, and we're quite burdened for this. What we would like to take a little time this afternoon and open up one of the crystals that we touched during the last winter training that I think affected us all very much, but maybe we didn't quite know how to apply it. And that was the crystal regarding Abraham and Isaac, and Abraham's journey to Moriah to offer Isaac. Do you remember this message? To offer Isaac on an altar as a burnt offering to God. Of course, these are the verses we just got into. So I'd like to share a little bit. I spent some time yesterday going back into this message I think many of us got into this message and maybe we were wondering, you know, well, what's my Isaac and what's my journey to Moriah? Even I think Ron cautioned us, be careful, don't leave this meeting and, you know, run off to Moriah. Take some time, don't be in a hurry. I really enjoyed, you have Beersheba, which is the church life, where there's the rivers and the well and the enjoyment. Stay there. But he pointed out that while we're enjoying the church life, there's something happening. There ought to be something happening, even not, you're not even aware of it, that is an element of the absolute Christ is getting constituted into us, such that at a certain point, we are, there is the capacity within us to make this journey to Moriah with our Isaac, the son that we love. And so yesterday I spent some time going back through this message from the vantage point of our service with the children and even our care for our children, from the perspective of this crystal and this transaction that Abraham experienced with Isaac. It's very deep and touching and profound. Anyway, I hope I'll share some, and then actually we want to have some testimonies. We have some who will come share their testimonies of making this journey as an encouragement to all of us, that we would all pass through this experience in our service and with our children to reach all the way to the goal of Moriah, which becomes Mount Zion, which becomes the New Jerusalem, right? Praise the Lord, we're here in the church life in Beersheba, but the Lord's goal is the New Jerusalem. Even in our service with the children, the Lord's goal is the New Jerusalem. Even with our children, remember, the children are not something bad. Isaac was not, this impressed me so much. Isaac was being sacrificed not because he was something bad, that he it wasn't like a bad habit that he needed to get rid of. Isaac was the promised seed. In our homes, we have children that are the promised seed. Right? It's marvelous. I would like to bring us to a phrase that Ron used that I don't believe I've ever heard it before. I haven't had a chance to go back and try to dig it out, but I'm going to use it because it was in that message. And I feel like it hits the mark of what we as parents and serving ones face in a day-to-day basis. This is my testimony. I face it. He used the phrase, I don't know if you remember it, the nexus of contradiction. You remember this, Ted? Had you ever heard that before? The nexus of contradiction. What is this nexus of contradiction? For Abraham, the nexus of contradiction, which is spoken of in these verses that we read in Hebrew, the contradiction is that Isaac is the very answer to the promise. He is the promised seed that God has given to be the answer to all the promises God has given us. And yet at the same time, he is directed by God to offer him on the altar. That is, to kill him. I mean, how do you reconcile this, brothers and sisters? How do you reconcile the promised seed with sacrificing on the altar? Okay. Our burden today is to encourage you in regards to the children, both as serving ones and as parents, to realize that, brothers and sisters, our children are primarily our responsibility, and they are the promised seed. They are the next generation. But there is a call that we face. Right? Have you ever gotten the phone calls? I get the emails. And the emails say, go to Moriah. Well, they don't say Moriah. They may say go to India or go to this place or that place. And that going is the offering, the killing, the putting to death of this very one that is your responsibility. And you are in a nexus. Listen, that phone call comes and you are in a nexus of contradiction. Because on the one hand, the fellowship, here's the fellowship, right? That the children are my responsibility, right? Okay, Renan, you're responsible for your child. But the next sentence is, Renan, we need you to go to South America for 2 months to care for Project XYZ. But you're still responsible for your children. You see the contradiction? Well, I appreciated so much that the account, the details of the account, the experience of this account that Abraham had. I'm not here to tell you I have the answer. I'm just here to say, brothers and sisters, we as parents and serving ones are in this same nexus of contradiction. On the one hand, we are responsible for the children and for our children. On the other hand, the Lord is calling us in these days many times to lay down our children and sacrifice our children, right, in whatever the situation, whatever the calling may be. Brothers and sisters, this is very deep, and this is our burden. I don't even know if I have a concluding answer today, but there's a call, brothers and sisters, that all of us here in the church in Anaheim would realize that we have no other life, we have no other living but Christ and the church. And even the children that we've been given as Isaacs, right? Sometimes can become a replacement, can become a what? A hindrance in the pursuit, in the following our calling to Christ and the church. And I appreciated Ron's word, and I feel like it's my word to you. Our basic problem is that we are not absolute. This is why it's a burnt offering. It's not a peace offering. It's not a sin offering. To place your children over the to give your children a higher, you know, to replace their care for the over Christ. This is not a matter of sin. This is not a matter of a peace offering. This is not a matter of a meal offering. It's the burnt offering. And the burnt offering has everything to do with Christ as the only one who is absolutely for God. Even as parents, we are not absolutely for God. I'm first in line, you know. But this is our calling, brothers and sisters. And our burden today is to share this and even to balance. You know, we've had this fellowship. The parents are the responsibility. The parents bear the primary responsibility. But please don't lose sight of Christ and the church. Don't lose sight of Christ as the absolute one who's being enwrought in us day by day as we enjoy the church life. And how this applies to us, how this calling comes to us, it's different for everyone, right? For one brother, the calling for Christ in the church comes another way. For another sister, another way, right? What if your precious daughter, who has struggled for years to get her law degree, decides to go to the full-time training? And you say, okay, you can go to the full-time training. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, okay, afterwards, there's all of the student loans. I don't know. I'm not in this position yet. I'm theorizing. And if I'm talking about you, please don't get mad at me and think, why is he talking about me? This is totally theoretical. But the Lord may call this young child, and she may be burdened to get married to a brother who wants to serve and migrate to, wow, the whole earth is crying for this. Now you're on the test. Now your Isaac is being, your precious Isaac. This is not a sinful Isaac. This is the precious Isaac that you love. Even Jehovah, when he came to Abraham, he said, Isaac, your only son, the one, what? That you love. Even Jehovah acknowledged, even was empathetic, was sympathetic, sensitive to what he was requiring us. Listen, the Lord understands the call and the price that we're paying, but he is bringing us to Zion and the New Jerusalem. Through what? Through the only absolute one in the universe, which is Christ. Anyway, this is our burden to fellowship, to open up, even to encourage each other. Maybe there's a call for this or that. The calling is different. The Isaac is different. But we just feel burdened, brothers and sisters, that in our care for the children as the ones we're responsible for, we also would realize sometimes the Lord is calling us to go to Moriah, to Zion, and to the New Jerusalem. And there's a price. There's an altar between point A and point B. And I was encouraged by a couple of points, how to go through these experiences. And then we'll have some testimonies. In the message, Ron touched two points of why is there this requirement to alter Isaac. He pointed out this was not because God is wishy-washy. He gives you something and changes his mind. It's not because he wants to just test you in a trivial way. I'm not sure if you really care about me, so I'm going to put you in this vice grip to test you out. And then, okay, once you pass the test, then everything's okay again. Actually, the reason he gives us these experiences is very profound. Firstly, is that his desire for us is that in giving us things, giving us blessings, those blessings would never become a replacement for himself. In giving us our children and the responsibility for the care of our children, but that would not become a replacement for Christ himself. This is a real test, brothers and sisters, as parents. Right? You just check. I don't want to. I'm shining the light on myself this afternoon that it's a serious thing to have your children and care for them, but the Lord wants us fully for himself, and he does not want to be replaced even with the things that he gives us. That's number one. Isn't that precious? Then the second item is that even the Isaac that he received, even the blessing that we receive, must pass through death and resurrection for multiplication. This is very profound. Even the blessing you have, you think, oh, how wonderful my children, or maybe you don't think how wonderful they are, but whether you think your children are wonderful or not, the blessing of your children must pass through death and resurrection for multiplication. The burden you have for your children, that was given to you by the triune God as a gift. But you know what? That burden needs to pass through death and resurrection for multiplication. Isn't that profound? This is Isaac. And so I would just like to close my fellowship, and then let's have open testimonies and experiences. I think we're all at different, some have passed through this, some may be right in the middle of this, some are hearing this for the first time and are scared to death of what it could mean. Anyway, I hope we could have just some family fellowship to encourage one another. But I'd like to just close with this last verse in Romans 4:17. To me, this verse really is a verse that needs to be in our prayer and in our fellowship and in our musing with the Lord. That Abraham got to know a God of two principles, right? Did you catch the two principles? Did you catch the kind of God that we have in Romans 4:17? He is the God whom he believed. Number one, who gives life to the dead. And number two, calls the things not being as being. I believe in our care for the children and our serving with the children and in our dealing with the Lord in this matter. These verses are the key because they tell us the way in which we need to know our Lord, right? We can enjoy the Lord many ways. We can enjoy Him as living water. We can enjoy Him as breath. We can enjoy Him as our rest. But I believe in these matters, just like Abraham, he needed the God who calls the things not being as being. What was that? That was the giving of Isaac to be his seed. There was no way to have Isaac. It was impossible. And yet God did it. He called not being as being. You follow what I mean? In your situation, God is calling not being as being. But at the same time, there's another God, and that is the God who gives life to the dead. This was the other experience that Abraham had concerning Isaac in this transaction that took place in Mount Moriah, right? This was the God. Isaac died in the reality of the type. He was put to death. But God was the God who gives life to the dead. In your consideration of the calling that is coming, and you're calculating the cost, right? What's it going to do to Johnny? What's it going to do to Emma? What's it going to do to her friends if she has to move? All these calculations we do as parents, right? Well, I'd like to add another formula to your calculation, and that is that we have a God who gives life to the dead. Praise the Lord. If in your calculation you sum it out and it comes to death, right? A plus B plus C plus D equals death of this child and that child and that child. Well, I just encourage you. We have a wonderful God. He is calling us to put the one he gave us to death. But he's the one who gives life to the dead. This is the God that we need to know and enjoy and participate in and encourage each other in, right? In our fellowship and in our opening up, I hope that we would enter in corporately to the experience of God as the one who calls not being as being and the one who gives life to the dead in whatever the experience he is calling us into. May the Lord speak to us. I think this is something new. We're just beginning to explore and fellowship together, how it will trickle down into the details. We need a lot of fellowship, but we just like to open this matter to you to go before the Lord and know him as the God who calls not being as being and calls and who gives life to the dead. Anyway, we're going to have Paul share, and perhaps Paul and his wife both to share a little bit of their testimony of this, and then maybe you have some testimony and we can digest and enjoy. And amen, brothers and sisters. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
20 years ago, we received a call from the Lord to bring the whole family to Russia to serve full time. At that time, my son was 4 years old, and my daughter was 2 years old. And when I received this call, there was a brother calling from Anaheim, asked me if I still have burden to go to Russia to serve full time. I said, I do. And then he said, do you have any situation or difficulty that you cannot go? I said, no. But right hand on the telephone, my goodness, what did I say? Immediately, the first question came into me was my children's education. My son was 4 years old. My daughter was 2 years old. So I didn't know what to do. And second question is, would my wife be agreeable? I haven't talked with her yet. And I told brothers, no problem. So I kneeled down to pray. And in my prayer, the Lord gave me a verse concerning my first question. That's in the 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. The Lord said, he will be my son, and I will be his father. You know, this is the content related to building up the temple. David wanted to build a temple for God. But God said, no, it's not you, but your son. Then there's such a verse. He will be my son, and I will be his father. That verse just came into my heart. I believe it was a rhema. I am a slow learner. Only after 20 years, I realized it is a rhema. This year, my son, my daughter, they got into the full-time training Anaheim first term. When I considered the second question, I asked the Lord, what should I say to my wife if she say no? And the Lord gave me another verse, Ephesians 5. Husband, love your wife like Christ gave himself up for the Lord. For the church. And I said, what? I need to give up this great burden because of my wife, if she say no? Then the Lord said, just this verse. Give yourself up. So when I went back to Taiwan, at that time I was in Philippines to help a conference. Then my wife already got a phone call, and she asked me, are you going? Do you have burden to go? I said, yes, I do. Then she said, what about if I say no? Praise the Lord, I prepared. I said, if you do not want to go, I can drop this burden. But I will fellowship with brothers. And she told me, no, dear, I want to go. But I don't want to go because only you go. I want to go to experience Christ because of my Lord. So I really appreciate that. She experienced Christ also. When we arrived, I went to Russia the first 6 months alone to know the situation and to rent up apartment, settle down. Then my wife and 2 children came. My son was 4.5 years old, and my daughter was 2.5 years old. At that time, 2 questions. One is the human education of the children. The other one is the spiritual education of the children. In Taiwan, basically, all the parents would do at that time, 20 years ago, would just give to the church. The church will be responsible in taking care of their spiritual life. However, the brothers began to mention the same burden. No, the parents need to pick up the burden to bear the spiritual responsibility of your children's spiritual growth. We heard that, but, you know, since the church is so developed and convenient, so we really didn't think of that. But when we were in Russia, nothing there. The church where we began to meet with was a church with like 20, 30 saints in Rostov, not I knew. And the kids, they had a kind of a children meeting, but my kids didn't know the language. So I made up my mind. Once a week, I will have a family meeting, family worship time at my house. And we did that. And also, every evening, I would speak the Bible story, like 10, 20 minutes, to my children. I did that for consecutive at least 3-4 years. And because of that, between the children and us, we built up a spiritual relationship. And in that little setting, just four of us, the children could pick up the hymn, the verse they want to, the hymn they want to sing, the verse they want to read. And I just joined them. It's not religious at all. It's full of enjoyment. We, the whole family, enjoy the Lord together. Praise the Lord. So this way, our children began to have a taste of enjoying the Lord. One day, I led them to go with me to give out gospel tracts. Who will reject a little girl 3 years old, a little boy 5 years old, give you a gospel tract? Everyone of the Russian people took their gospel tract. Some reject mine. In my mind, I want my children to learn how to serve God in their childhood. They have to learn to treasure the opportunity to serve God. In my mind, nothing is more important than following the Lord, than serving the church. And I believe the Lord honored this kind of attitude. And about the human education, once we found a kindergarten, and we brought him, my son there, and soon we found that kindergarten had a kind of attitude to their kids. They keep telling them, you all will become rich people. You all will become elite in the society. So you are not going to be like other kids on the street. And when I heard that, I felt very uncomfortable. And I just pull my children back and transfer them to another just very common public kindergarten. I read a sentence before. That sentence said, I'd rather see my children to become janitors but love the Lord than my children become president without loving God. This has been in my heart. And this has been in my attitude. And I think I told my children this. One day to be in the tabernacle of God is more than 1,000 days as king to be in the evil's tent. So, gradually, the kids grow in the spiritual side and in the human side. However, we noticed the older, when the kids, when they grow older, the education system in Russia become more and more corrupted. Normally, like 10 years old boy begin to smoke, even in the campus. And the teachers don't take care of that. So we fellowshipped. We had a problem with that. So we decided to do one thing we never did before. We never even thought that before, to have homeschooling. And my wife was not a professional teacher, neither me. But through the fellowship and the prayer, we had a lot of prayers. Saints, I want to emphasize this. We need to pray for our children. And through the fellowship, my wife began to have homeschooling for 2-3 years. And also there was a saint. She was a retired teacher from Texas. She went to Russia to help some homeschooling mothers. We really appreciate it. And we received great help from her. However, after 2-3 years, I noticed the difficulty of the homeschooling became more and more to my wife, because she is not a professional. Even her English is not that great. So I consider maybe that's our maximum time to stay in Russia to serve. So I fellowshiped with the brothers in Taiwan and in U.S. At that time, my mother, who lived in Torrance, got a health problem, and her bone got fractured 2 times that year, 1999. Okay, so she hoped that we can come back to help her. And through the fellowship, anyway, the brother said, it's fine. You come back. You had served 5 years there. You can start your service in the church in Anaheim, year 2000. And, no, that's 2000. Then I was happy. So I brought my children, my wife back, and I found a house immediately, and I signed the contract. Everything so smooth until I put my signature there. I feel I lost the smiling face of the Lord. I said, Lord, what? You want me to go back? When I just say that, I feel the Lord say to me within, yes, I want you to go back. What about my children? What about their education? Consecration. Through the fellowship, I went back alone for service because my mom did need help. So my wife and my kids stay in Anaheim 9 months. On one hand, strengthened kids' education. On the other hand, took care of my mom. However, after 9 months, the brothers and me, we all feel this time to bring the kids back. I still remember I was so anxious about their education. And the most terrible thought I got was, what about if our children one day would not love the Lord, would not love the church, just because of our absoluteness? As a young boy, I received the best care from my parents, the best opportunity of education, but now the Lord wants me to offer my children. And do I have the right to do that? If Abraham lived today, did he have a right to say, I'm ready to offer you? So that was my fear. And I told my wife, I said, this is my fear. I'm afraid one day they will not love the Lord just because of our bringing them back to Russia. And because we didn't give them the best environment. You imagine to pull them from Anaheim, from Acacia Wood, bring them to Moscow, and with a known educational situation. No idea at all. Okay, my wife, praise the Lord, she comforted me. She said, no, we have given them the best already. Christ is the best. We give them Christ. And the oneness of the family is the second best. And we gave them this. And they will receive no less than others. I don't know from where she got this word of wisdom, full of comforting. So I got strengthened. Then, on the way back to Anaheim, however, when I thought again, my kids, the unknown education in front, I just feel so difficult. However, I remember the consecration I gave to the Lord. And I remember the word the Lord gave to me. I will be his father. He will be my son. Although this word was with me, on the way back in the airplane, I was crying like a baby for like, I don't know, 30 minutes. I just pulled a blanket to cover myself. And after that interaction with the Lord, I had more assurance. Very slight. You know, the Lord normally doesn't give us a big full assurance, but just a slight assurance. And I realized the Lord will take care of them. So bring them back, first thing in Moscow, our whole family kneeled down. My son was 11, my daughter was 9. We kneeled down together, pray for the children's education, and pray for our future. Praise the Lord. After 2 weeks, an open door opened to us. That is a very good American school in Moscow, which is composed of mainly the Christian or the children of the missionaries. When we visit there, when I heard the price, I said, no, I cannot afford it. It's too much for the church. And the principal said, don't worry. Just give whatever you have. The rest, we give you scholarship. So it's almost like free. And I realized the Lord did this. Amen. And our children, just in brief, went through this educational system, I think 6 years. And in year 2008, I felt the time to go back. And also, the work had a change in the policy. We wanted to shift all the burden to Russian-speaking saints. So we came back, year 2008. My son entered into UC San Diego by the house. But before that, he did not want to go to the brother house. You know what? Because, you know, when kids small, it's easy to migrate. But bigger, they have their own thought. So if you want to migrate, you migrate earlier. The later, the hotter, really. But I had a new one. Shepherd him and just, you know, take care of him. And he eventually came to my son and invite my son to his brother's house and just spend one night with my son. And after that, my son said, Daddy, I want to move to the brother's house in San Diego. And also that brother used like 6 months to have daily morning revival by phone calling to my son. I never could imagine that. I saved that brother from the street, you know. If we take care of the beloved of Christ, the Lord will take care of our beloved. Amen. Do you believe that? So, I think my time is up. I want to just stop here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to give our God glory. Amen. Thank the Lord for his faithfulness in taking care of his loving ones and his own children. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I also enjoy the verse. Yeah, I think the Hebrew chapter 11 helped me a lot about the faith, witness of faith. Let me read verse 8. By faith, Abraham, being called, obeyed to go out unto a place which he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. Number 9, by faith he dwelt as a foreigner in the land of the promise, as in a foreign land, making his home in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the fellow heirs of the same promise. I think in my prayer, I just not present my family to. You know, in the Russia, during the, I think, 91 to 2008, actually we have the, including the Taiwan and the, you know, America, different. We have so many family, you know, the almost we have 100 children in one summer training, you know, from the different city getting together. So I'd like to represent this family, not only we, you know. Those families, especially the Taiwan, I think now still have 27 kids. When they went back to Taiwan, every kid, you know, behind their education. Every kid down, you know, low down about 1 or 2 years. And the parent, no regret.
Amen.
And that the children also participate this moving work.
Amen.
Probably
Amen.
They don't know. But I believe one thing, the God will remember and bless them.
Amen.
Yeah, and in such an experience, the Paul say, why I have such wisdom? Because I grow up, the environment is church life. So many wisdom, church life, me, yeah. Because the saints, like a crowd, surround me.
Amen.
And the saints give me so many life, the word of life, wisdom of life, cultivate me to grow up in such environment.
Amen.
So when I met some, you know, the trouble or something, yeah, I will turn to the Spirit and pray and remember the word of God, you know, became my rhema word. And this, I feel the one side, the Christian life is enjoy the Christ, enjoy the life, right? But the one side, very challenged. And something that I remember doing in the Russia, seems every day need a fighting. In the morning, fighting for food, physical food, and fighting with kids. You know, like a jagged wrestle, not a wrestle with, you know, God. Also, we every day need to wrestle with kids in the here too, right? Yeah, get out from computer, you know, get out from the everything, the wrestle. But the one side, I just feel that, so we need the full the wisdom. We need to have the, you know, wisdom from God. Otherwise, we cannot continually to do such a work.
Amen.
And such a work, I feel, oh, Lord Jesus, and very interesting and very tremendous. Yeah, and God supplied daily need. I just remember and those even you know we have a kid in now in Taiwan is one kind of so-called the 自闭怎么讲?
Autism.
Also one kid is dancing too. But you know, 2 years ago I went back. These dancing kids have a normal church life.
Wow.
And this up there, the kids, you know, he has a church life, and he is joining the champion of the whole country.
Mm.
Now he already, I think, already 14 years old.
Mm.
So I think the Lord did a lot of tremendous on this kid. And not only, and I honor your work and honor all the parents, because we take care not only our children,
Amen.
Also the God's children,
Amen.
Also next generation.
Amen.
And such kind of work is eternal work.
Amen.
It's worthy to invest. Yeah, and because of, you know, your labor, so we sanctify, we protect those kids in special divine environment. And I just know that the church is the foundation of the truth and the peace.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids grow in such kind of environment. So in future, kids will meet something. They have a word of God. And such word of God became their faith too. became their experience. And so I do believe this. So I really don't worry. Even I go to the Russia, you know, I only know two Russian words, thank you and one. I didn't pick a language and then I went. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
For such a, you know, just a little bit power.
Amen.
Then we can provide.
Amen.
Amen. Eternal work. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, the Lord knows how many failures we experienced. Yeah, so don't consider us a pattern or anything. No, we're just nothing. But we speak this for testifying the Lord's faithfulness.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to use about 10 minutes for your response. So the meeting is open.
Well, dear saints, this is not typical children's serving fellowship. But my sense, and I think this echoes in all of us, that this is the right fellowship in the Lord's recovery. This is not focused on the family. This is not living for your children, right? Like Brother Lee used to say, try not to misunderstand us, right? You could maybe mishear some of the fellowship or misapply it in thinking it's not a matter of not loving the children. It's loving to the children in a divine economy, right? If you read that book that was put out, Raising Up the Next Generation, and if you read the introduction, or it's the preface, one of those, in the beginning of the book, it's a most striking introduction. And there's a lot of time spent on the trunk, the branches, and the leaves. And when that book was put together, it was very emphatic by the senior co-workers who were involved with it, that you have to begin such a book on God's economy. Don't bring and lead the saints into fellowship concerning the children's work outside the context of the economy of God. Everything we do in the Lord's recovery, everything we would do in the churches, right, would be under a controlling vision. Surely we hear the word three PhDs, right? But the flip side of three PhDs is ashes on the east side of the altar. If you miss the ashes on the east side of the altar, what value are the three PhDs, right? So this is not children's service fellowship 101. Right? This isn't how to tell a story. This is how to turn the age. This is how we... Aren't you glad you're here to hear a word that will just is true to the end, is on the mark? Don't you sense it's on the mark? It's why we are here. We love our children to the uttermost, right? As a grandparent, I tell this to my wife many times. You know where grandparents belong? In the grandstands. Because you have to watch your children raise their children. Part of the package. You know. And it goes on. Right? And the Lord has kept us to this day. So I don't want to take too much time, but saints, this is marvelous fellowship. This is consummation fellowship for the Lord's move, right? If we can grasp and hold fast to this kind of word, the Lord will have the best way possible among us, with us, and through us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a high calling, huh? What a stewardship the Lord has called us into, right? Don't you sense that we have touched just the tip of the iceberg? There is such a burden behind this, right? I remember when we asked Tim to speak, he said, well, maybe I'll share about 15 minutes. And the same thing with Brother Paul, right? And right away, as soon as they open their mouth, the Lord really has this burden. So we certainly need to consider this, right, and to apply this in a very practical way. Well, because of time, for sure we need to continue this fellowship, but because of time we will face into the practical coordination. I want to start making you, probably you've seen this already, right? We have some extra copies if you need it for your district or for your level, for your parents. Probably you have realized the registration form that we have now is much more simple, right? And we're hoping that this would mean that we will get them back, in time. So at least District 1 and 2, we had a good response this morning. Most of the parents, I would say, fill up the form right there and gave it to us. So it really doesn't take more than 5 minutes to fill it up. Now, today, we want to distribute two forms. One of them you're already familiar with. It gives us general guidelines. And the different colors is because we have it available in different languages. We have it in Spanish, Chinese, Korean, and, of course, in English. Probably you've seen this before. We'll have this available at the end of the meeting at the table at the entrance. You can pick it up. Please read it because we have updated it. So let me just read the paragraph that was updated. It says, set up the signing table by 9:15 and man this table until 10:15. The function of this table is to warmly greet the saints and the children, ensure they have properly filled in their names, give each child a name badge, and direct them to the proper drop-off room. Each child must be signed in by one of his parents or legal guardians. So this emphasis is new, that each child must be signed in by one of his parents or legal guardians. At the end of the meeting, man this table by 11:45 to direct parents where to pick up their children. This arrangement may vary among districts. Only the parent or legal guardian of the child may sign them out unless previous arrangements have been made with the parents or legal guardians. Older siblings or relatives are not qualified to sign them out. A strict adherence to this practice is required. So we need to pay attention to this. Now, if you brothers can help me distribute this. We have used this before. We have given this to the coordinators of each level. But we want all of you to have at least one copy of this. It's okay if you want to pick up a second copy for your fellow serving ones. Originally, this document, like I said, was prepared last year for those in charge of a specific level of service. We felt that it was important for all of you to have this. Actually, this is not the same document we prepared last year. It is a shorter version of it. In an updated version. If you all have it, perhaps we can all read the first paragraph, the opening paragraph. Dear saints, those serving with the children have the burden that the various teams involved in serving our children in the church in Anaheim, we have frequent and profitable meetings at each age level in order to pray and fellowship concerning their service. For such purpose, we have prepared the following list of topics as suggestions to contribute in the preparation of their agendas for such meetings. Please review them before such meetings to see which areas you may need to emphasize. You know, we still talk with some serving ones, and some of them might say, but why do we have to meet? What is it to talk about? Right? But even us, you know, maybe we have, through our own experience, have realized the need and the importance for us to have a time of fellowship, of prayer and fellowship with our fellow serving ones in our level. Even us, for us, it's a struggle, right, to pay the price that is needed in order for us to have these times frequently. So we just need to encourage each other, remind each other. You know, every time I pick up the phone and I call this serving one, this other fellow serving one, what about we get together and let's have a time after the Lord's table, or after the Lord's Day meeting, you know, with all those serving us, we need to be reminded. We're just preaching the gospel of the church life. We need to continue to remind ourselves of the importance of having these times of fellowship. And if you read the points here, you will see that there are many, many matters that need to be taken care of, that need to be paid attention to, and that may need to be emphasized during those times. We are expecting, especially those that kind of bear the burden to coordinate among the different teams on each level, to emphasize these matters. Amen.